Last week, President Trump declared the opioid crisis a national public health emergency. Here on the show, we heard about the powerful painkiller OxyContin and how aggressively marketing it to doctors helped start a wave of addiction all across the U.S. because those doctors then overprescribed the drug, which is, as we heard on the show last week, a phenomenon across North America, but not as prominent in other parts of the world. Well, sales of OxyContin are actually down in the U.S. recently. Apparently, now that we're in the midst of this epidemic, doctors have stopped prescribing this painkiller and others like it quite as much. But something else is happening too. The family that owns the company that manufactures OxyContin, the Sackler family, is looking increasingly outwards to other countries to market their product. Harriet Ryan has written about this for the Los Angeles Times. So what countries is OxyContin expanding to?
They're moving into the developing world, and they're looking at countries that have strong middle classes with health insurance. So they're looking at China, Brazil, throughout Latin America, and parts of the Middle East and Africa, as well as some of the kind of lesser developed countries in Europe, Portugal, for example.
And are there similarities between how the drug is getting marketed in these places now to how it was marketed when it was first introduced in the U.S. in the 90s?
Absolutely. They're using many of the same tactics that were controversial in the U.S. and that are credited for making OxyContin a pharmaceutical blockbuster here.
Yeah, and remind us what some of those tactics are.
So the first is that doctors have generally a fear of narcotics and of opioids because they know they're so addictive. And so the consensus for generations was that opioids should only be used sparingly and mostly in patients that had terminal illness or cancer where addiction wasn't as big as a concern. And so what the Sackler companies have been doing around the world, as they did in the U.S., is going to doctors and saying, patients can be on these drugs round the clock for years safely and with little risk of addiction. It's kind of creating a sea change in the way that doctors think abroad, the way that they changed the way the medical community regarded these drugs in the U.S.
So OxyContin runs into problems here in the U.S. and then it gets marketed overseas. What does that remind you of?
Well, experts have compared it to me to what Big Tobacco did. When, you know, Americans started learning about the cancer-causing properties of cigarettes, they stopped using them, and sales fell dramatically in the 80s and the 90s. And the tobacco companies responded by really pushing hard into the developing world where that knowledge wasn't as widely available.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought of too, but I'm wondering if there are some inaccuracies in the comparison.
Well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, tobacco, cigarettes are not medicine. They're not prescribed by doctors. And there aren't those gatekeepers the way there are for medications. So the advertising campaigns that tobacco companies run in the third world are appealing directly to consumers. And what pharmaceutical companies do when they go into the developing world is they target the medical community. And that's what we're seeing right now is the retraining of physicians in these countries to see opioids as safer than they previously saw them.
I'm wondering, too, now that we have President Trump declaring the opioid crisis a national emergency, will other countries going to look at these marketing campaigns for opioids with more suspicion?
After our story ran, several members of Congress, I think about 20, who come from places in the United States that have severe opioid problems, wrote a letter to the World Health Organization pretty much begging them to look deeply at the marketing of OxyContin and other drugs in the developing world and to learn from America's terrible experience with these drugs and try to head it off before it becomes a problem in these other countries.
So if the pressure of this national epidemic here and now presidentially declared national public health emergency is forcing Purdue to find new markets for this product that seems to have caused so much harm, does it suggest to you that Purdue senses some kind of responsibility? Do you have any solid evidence of that?
Well, the Sackler family owns Purdue, and they own these foreign companies, international companies called Mundi Pharma. And they will tell you that they are working every day to stop the opioid epidemic that has developed in the U.S., and the international companies are learning from America's experience. And they will point to the reformulations of the drugs that make it harder for addicts to crush them so they can be more easily snorted to produce a high. But at the same time, when you go to these countries, you know, they're touting the benefits of these drugs without saying, hey, look what it did to Florida. Look what it did to Appalachia. Look at the rates of babies being born in some American states that are addicted to these drugs. That information is not highlighted in these presentations.
Harriet Ryan with the Los Angeles Times. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.